On the first Sunday in September. My, how time is slipping away from me. It's hard to believe it. We're into the fall months now. We have lots of announcements in our bulletin. Is there anyone that has a special announcement or anything that they need to? Yes, ma'am. Do we have any other announcements? Share. want to make sure that everybody has signed the attendance registers. They've been passed around earlier, so just make sure you sign those for the 10:15 service. Do we have any other?
Yes.
I have a bulletin correction that the congregation is not singing the special music today. You all are relieved. And you are also in for a wonderful treat. It's not even the song How Beautiful. The choir's not even singing, but Jade and her sister, I believe, and I'm sorry, I don't know her sister's name.
Nikki.
Are going to be singing, and it will be very lovely. And they are singing Listen to Our Hearts.
Okay.
And I apologize. It was my oversight, or I could blame it on Spada or Julie or somebody else, but it was our oversight. My oversight.
Another correction. The first hymn is 97, not 299.
I have nothing to do
with that. Okay. Let us at this time pause for prayer requests and praise requests, praise reports. I know we have several in our bulletin. Do we have any that needs to be shared this morning?
Jimmy Palmer, family.
The whole family.
He's a friend from Murfreesboro.
Do we have others? Is there any?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Let's walk right over that one. Do we have any visitors?
We have Nikki.
Visitors, okay. Welcome to Jenkins. Your name, please. Welcome, Renee. Okay. Okay. Okay, welcome to Jenkins. Brought friends and family today.
And I'm really sorry your name's not in the bulletin since we've got so many people to see. Okay, thank you for coming for us.
Okay, any other business? Okay, back to prayer requests. Many times we don't think about our military people as much as maybe I think we should, because it's so far away from us unless we have someone right in the middle of it. I have a family at school that this just came to, and I had the guilt trip all week about this family, and I thought, I've got to do better, and I'm going to do better. This family has 5 children, and their father is there for 2 years. And the mother's struggling, and I couldn't figure, and we finally got her some help. But when you're in the military, you don't even have enough money to make it to the end of the month. And I think there's something really wrong with that picture. At this time, let us pause for a moment of silent prayer and remember all of those who we've spoken their name and names on our hearts.
Oh, Lord God, we know that You're Lord of all. But Lord, sometimes we let other things take prominence in our life. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. As we come together this morning to worship You, Lord, we pray that we could listen to Your call, we could listen to Your pleading, and not be as Israel of old and turn a deaf ear. Thank You, Lord, for caring enough to call us. And thank You, Lord, for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Thank You, Lord, for wanting us to be redeemed from sin and Satan and be a part of Your kingdom and be in fellowship with You. And Lord, thank You for the promises to Your people, of the blessings that You pour out on them. And Lord, we come offering our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Let us remain standing and state in words that which we believe within our hearts.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Holiness and the righteousness pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
We have that assurance of forgiveness taken from Psalm chapter 103, verses 11 and 12. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Turning our hymnals to page 306, and this is the right number this time.
Let's sing 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
with special music at this time. Much smaller, And our fence that to our pond only comes a little bit down, and so now there is a pathway around our pond that you can walk all the way around it and get out of the fence. Well, one of our little horses had figured out that she can do that, and we had forgotten about the fact that she knew that she could do that, and we had her in there with two of our other horses, and guess what she did this week? She taught the other two that they could walk out too. And Mr. Larry came home one morning, and all three of them were in the front yard eating. So this week, we've had to start taking them to a different lot and closing them in so they can't get to the pond, you know, because we know now they know how to lead themselves out. And we don't want her to teach everybody that they can walk right out of there. So I've been having to lead them every day from the barn, once I feed them, back to the lot. Well, these mares, they don't really like the fact that I'm having to lead them because they kind of like to do their own thing, especially the youngest one. The youngest one is just two. And Ginger, when I put the halter on her, especially if she's the last one to come out of the barn, she wants to get down there really fast because the other two have left her, you know. So I, to make her listen and to make her let me lead her, which if she doesn't want me to lead her, I really can't because she weighs probably, oh, at least 9 to 10 times more than me, you know. But I lead her along and I'll say, whoa, and we stop, which is just really hard for her too because she's already wanting to be somewhere else. But we do it just to show her that we can because I'm teaching her to lead. Well, while I was doing this that morning, I thought of a song that I knew when I was younger called He Leadeth Me, He Leadeth Me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be because by His hand He leadeth me. And I thought, you know, that's why it's so good that when we're small, that we're here to learn about God and the fact that He wants to lead us through our lives each and every day, every circumstance. And sometimes when we're older, it's not quite so easy for us to listen as it is if we're younger and we come along learning that sometimes God says no. And sometimes God says okay. And sometimes God says stop and be still and listen to what I have to say to you. And when we get to be grown up, sometimes, like Ginger, it's a little bit harder for us to do that. But just remember that song. And it's hard for me to say it without singing it, but He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me, His faithful follower I will be by His own hand. He leadeth me. Let's go.
Sherry and Jim and Karen and Diane and John Rippey and Larry Barnes to assist, if you will.
Holy Communion. Time of remembrance and a time of proclaiming. Look for those two words
in the lesson from 1 Corinthians this morning.
The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He says, I received from the Lord. So Jesus has spoken to Paul. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. He had already told the Corinthians this, but he's reminding them again. That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Remember. Remembering what Jesus has done for us. What God has done for us through Jesus. And then the next verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till you come. So when I eat, I'm proclaiming that Jesus has died for me. When you eat, you're proclaiming to that person sitting next to you, or maybe somebody across the sanctuary, that you're trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus, where he died for us. So let's think of that as we partake. It's not just for us, though it is for us to remember, but it's also our proclaiming to those around. Our testimony, if you will. This is the Lord's table. And all who trust in Jesus as their Savior are invited to eat and drink. That is to say, this is not my table, this is not Jenkins Church's table, this is not even a Cumberland Presbyterian table. It's Christianity's table, Christ's table. And all who trust in Christ, Jesus the Christ, you're invited and urged to eat and drink, remembering his sacrifice for us. His love to us that is shown through his sacrifice. Let us offer thanks for this bread. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, a morsel of bread. But we read where you took some bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to the disciples and told them that that was your body. And as they ate of it, they were to remember your sacrifice for us. And we come thanking you, Lord, for this bread and this way to remember how much you love us. In a time that the church can come apart from the world and remember your sacrifice for us. Thank you for loving us enough to send Jesus to die in our place. And we thank you, Jesus, for coming and giving your life. Even while we were yet enemies, you paid the penalty that was due us for our sins. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you, Mary. The cup, fruit of the vine, represents the blood that Jesus shed for us. A new covenant shed for the remission of sin. Lord God, bless this cup. Thank you, Father. And thank you that you are willing to shed your blood for us to redeem us, that we might know forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen.
declare having received, I share with you the blood of Christ shed for you. Elders, you have received. Now share with those who wait before you.
Thank you.
Today are three very familiar chapters and words of the Bible that I'm sure all of you are very familiar with. The first one from John chapter 3 verses 14 through 18, and then Mark chapter 16 verses 15 through 16, and then 1 John chapter 5 verses 11 through 13. Listen to the word. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Write these words to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I believe we have another hymn, number 303.
Thank you.
People need the Lord. And that is what we are called to do. Share the Lord with people. Or take the Lord to people. We do it in various ways. But that is what we are called to do. Being an evangelist. How many of you feel that you are an evangelist? How many of you are actively involved as an evangelist? My apologies for my limitations in high-tech stuff, but Gary comes to my rescue, and thank you so much, Gary. Something happened last week and again this week. Don't have time at this time to figure it out. I want us to think about being evangelists. Telling about Jesus. Telling about Jesus. I hope to challenge you as well as motivate you this morning to be actively involved. Not passively sitting on the sideline, unless you determine that that is your calling, that God is calling you to do that. But I challenge you to be actively involved in sharing the gospel. And I don't think we have to worry about too many people getting involved. Because if every one of us did get actively involved in sharing the message of Jesus, we wouldn't have too many going out and sharing the gospel. But if you feel that your job is just to be a supporter of those who do, and if God convinces you of that, I won't argue with you if you're convinced of that. The role of the church is to lead people to Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the Christ. Christ being the Greek word for the English word Savior. Our role, our number one purpose, our reason for being, if you will, is to lead people to know Jesus as their Savior. Jesus, who is the Savior, or who is the Christ. Christ is not Jesus' name, that's His title. But He's often used, even in the Scripture, as His name. And many, many preachers will preach as if it's His name. And I've done it myself. We talk about come to Christ as your Savior. But that's the title, the Savior. Come to Christ and allow Him to save you, or trust Him as your Savior. We have as our responsibility, our job, if you will, the task, the responsibility of bringing people to meet Jesus. And that's all we can do. That's as far as we can go. Introduce them to Jesus. It's up to Jesus to save them. But we are called, we are challenged by Him, by Jesus Himself, to be involved in this so that He can save them. Save them from what? From their sin. Yes, people need the Lord. And there is a world of people out there that need the Lord. There may be some in here who still yet do not know the Lord. But we keep trying to introduce them to it, to the various activities. But people out there need the Lord. Our purpose, our reason for being. And the best way that we can bring glory to God, and that is our chief purpose, is it not? to glorify God and enjoy Him. The best way, the scriptures point out, of giving glory to God is to bring people to know Him as their Lord and Savior. Luke 15 tells us, Luke 15, 1 through 10, there's two examples of a person repenting of their sin, turning their back on their sin, and coming to Jesus and being found by their owner, Jesus, or God the Father, bringing joy in heaven. One is the parable of the lost sheep. And the shepherd finds his lost sheep and brings it home, and he rejoices and invites his neighbors to come and rejoice with him. And then Jesus, who had just spoken this parable, says, there is like this, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who turns to God and trusts in Him, or becomes in fellowship with God. Also, the lost coin. The woman lost her coin and she tore that house up, finding it. Probably that house became the cleanest it had been in a long time, because she had lost that coin and she was diligent. She persevered in her search. And she probably swept and moved the couch and felt down between the cushions. You've been down there and found those books that's lost and those coins, quarters. She found that coin and she was so happy, she rejoiced and invited people to rejoice with her. And Jesus says, there's like joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, like there was joy on earth when the woman found her coin that she had lost. Then he goes on to talk about a lost son, the parable of the prodigal son, the son who had run off. He had lost. He was dead, the father said. The son represents us, our people, lost people. The father represents God. And when the son came home, there was rejoicing, there was party time, there was kill the fatted calf. Now, some people are not always happy when other people get saved. The elder brother was a little jealous. No, he was a lot jealous. And the father had to explain to him that that boy had been dead spiritually, and now he was alive. He had been lost, but now he was found. He was restored to fellowship with the family. And Jesus says, it's like that when we are restored to fellowship with God. We who have been alienated. Our orders are given to us in Mark 16. Verse 15 and following. Last words of Jesus, basically, right there in that last paragraph. He's about to ascend to the Father. You also find words, not exact saying. It was Mark's memory. It was Matthew's memory. And it was Luke's memory. And probably Luke and Mark didn't meet Jesus, probably didn't meet him personally. But they had heard Peter preach about it. Mark had Peter preach about what Jesus said when he ascended. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, we find that's where we always go to the Great Commission. There are about three verses there. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Or go and make disciples. And you make disciples by preaching the gospel. The good news of Jesus. He is the Savior. He died for your sin that we have relived here this morning from the communion table. Luke chapter 24. Go and preach the gospel. Starts here where they were. And he went out to the
uttermost parts of the earth. Preach the gospel. Make disciples of Jesus. Bring people to become disciples of Jesus. Baptize them. Set them apart as God's people. And then teach them. Teach them. And we glorify God when we obey His Word. Just like we honor and glorify a parent when we obey their word. And this is the word of the Lord. We know, the church knows what it's supposed to do. We know what we're called to do. Do we not? If you didn't before now, you do now. This part of the church. But often, we get sidetracked. You ever felt that you get sidetracked from that you were supposed to do? You were going to clean house today, and a neighbor called and said, let's go shopping, and we got sidetracked and shopped all day. And the house is not clean. And supper was supposed to be cooked this day, and we got sidetracked because somebody got sick and we had to go take care of them. And some of the sidetrack things that we do are very important and we ought to go and do them. We were going to what? Make a meal for a neighbor down the street who was sick, but somebody called and said somebody just went to the hospital and needs somebody to sit with them. And you think you need to go do that day. So we got sidetracked for that we started to do, knew we ought to do, etc. But we were not able to fulfill it. We'll talk about getting sidetracked in a moment. And let me tell you, we will not go through the outline today. We will only get to, if you see your little outline there before you, we will only get pretty close to the bottom. What's so important about being saved? We will have to save that one. We choose to save that one. We tend to save it from the 8 o'clock service, so we'll save it for this one also. Why evangelize? Why do we need to tell the people about Jesus? Why do they need to be saved? Because people are lost. One phrase is used about people, they're lost and undone. Do we know what undone means? I can identify or define lost better than I can undone. After the fall, what fall are you talking about? Niagara Falls? Or Cumberland Falls? Or Fall Creek Falls? No, the fall of mankind, a greater fall than all of these, more serious, more important. Adam and Eve were created by God and placed in a garden. And I think we could say that, and truthfully so, that it was a perfect society. It was great. Everything they needed was provided for them, and they could just enjoy God's presence. Wow! They could, you know, food was provided, shelter was provided, they didn't need any clothing. And they were just enjoying life. And along came Satan. Bad part about the Garden of Eden is that there was a tempter there. And Eve was enticed by him to disobey God, and she did. And Adam was enticed by Eve to disobey God, and they both ate of the fruit that was forbidden. And that was their downfall. And that because of that downfall, they were cast out of the garden. And they had to earn their living by the sweat of their brow. My goodness, we ought to be mad at them, ought we? Life was so easy, but they messed it up. But if they had not have messed it up, we would have, would we not? But they messed it up, separated from God, cast out of the garden, childbirth painful. And you women have talked about that. We can only imagine what you're talking about. And life is tough. Thorns and weeds grow, and if you've noticed this summer, weeds grow when grass dies. Have you noticed that? Weeds will hardly die even in the grass.
okay? The grass, the beautiful grass grows.
I mean, dies. And ugly weeds. Well, if you don't have anything but weeds in your yard, you still got something in your yard, right? But anyhow, the downfall. And because of what they did, it was transferred to us. We're separated from God because. And we continue, man continued the spiral, the downward spiral, till it got to Noah. And God looked at the earth, and it was so bad by the time it got to Noah, He said, I'm just going to destroy it. So He destroyed everything that He had made except Noah and his family and two of every animal except for the clean animals. You do know, if they say, seven of them, so they'd have something to eat while they were in the ark. Okay? So it wasn't just two of every animal. Two of every animal, but seven of every clean animal or edible animal. And this has come on down to us because of what Adam and Eve did. Noah was a good man, but he sinned just after the flood. He started all over again. He wasn't a perfect man. And man is still alienated from God by his sinful nature and by our own action when we follow our sinful nature. The Apostle Paul gave us some details of the fall, how through Adam we're all alienated from God or we're all become sinners in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're separated from God. Through one man, Adam, sin came into the world and death following sin. But then he goes on to say that Jesus is the one who gets us to God. Gets us back to God. It's through Jesus that we get back to God. Through this one man, Jesus, we're redeemed, or can be redeemed, through our faith in Him. And it is our story to tell. We fell in Adam, but we're restored through Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. But we get sidetracked. And let's talk a moment about the sidetrackedness. How we get sidetracked. We're so busy. This church is one of the busiest churches that you can find anywhere. There's not hardly time to breathe. We got this going on and that going on and something else going on. And when do you find time to do it all? Sunday school. Christian education here and there. Church counts. We do it through Christian education. We do it through other ways of Christian nurture. Worship. Three opportunities a week. Two on Sunday morning. One on Wednesday night. And I can speak again positively for Wednesday night. Fellowship time. Last week we talked about fellowship and the importance of fellowship. And this church is one of the most fellowshipping churches you can find anywhere. We are not short on fellowship. And at least with fellowship dinners. We may be a little short on fellowship, but we're not eating together. Especially with each other. We may be limited in our fellowship by reaching out to other people out there who are not in the circle of the church already. Mission work. The church is involved in mission work, sending people to Puerto Rico this summer, sending people to South America, or helping Sam and his group go. And he's going maybe next summer and in October, and just a lot of mission work. Fundraisers. Now, all the announcements this morning, not all of them, but three of the announcements this morning were about fundraising, right? Bazaar. Carnival. Maybe just two of them were. Well, it said that the 8 o'clock service would have barbecue at the carnival, and that makes me think of the barbecue. And then we were talking, last week we talked about Christmas Child. Was that last week? The Christmas Child Project. We need to raise funds to help somebody over there. We're really active in working with people who are Christian organizations. Hopefully, we can be a witness through the carnival funds
and the Christmas Child Funds. Hopefully we can use the bazaar as a way to evangelize. The General Assembly this year called on the church, prompted by my friend Don Wynn, Mount Liberty Church near Charlotte, to put an emphasis on evangelism for the next few years. We need to evangelize people. Instead of getting so sidetracked, and Jesus spoke to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. And let me quickly say, he spoke to the church in Ephesus and said to them, folks, you forgot your first love. And they were a great church. The Ephesian church was a great church. You can read about it in the book of Acts, where Paul went there and visited and went back there and stayed a while with them. I think he stayed 3 years with them. And they were a great church. But when time passed and things went on, they forgot their first love. And I asked a preacher friend today of another denomination, this week of another denomination, what was the first love that they had forgotten? And he said, well, it's the Word. And then if you read the Amplified Bible, it's got in there, Jesus is saying to the church at Ephesus, you've forgotten about me. And that is the Word incarnate. They had forgotten about Jesus, sharing Jesus. They were strict on their teachers. They made sure that they really were apostles. They made, if anybody showed some bad activity, unchristian activity, it seemed like they were chastised. They were diligent. They endured. They were faithful. They were a great, great church. They would not tolerate wickedness. They were a hard-working church, etc., etc., etc. But in verse 4, Revelation 2, verse 4, says, but one thing that you have done that you should not have done, you forgot your first love. We had forgot Him. Well, maybe we can twist this scripture, even if it needs to be twisted. I don't really think it does. We have forgot our first priority. We got sidetracked, friends. We have become sidetracked. And I've done it too. It's so easy to get so involved in taking care of the flock that we forget to reach out. We don't have time, we say. But we need. We're called. We're challenged of God to put this evangelism as top priority. We're going to sing Psalm 299. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will say, stand with me. And let's sing together. Can we use this as a commitment to be thinking about, praying about, how we can be fulfillers of Jesus' command to go and make disciples? What's it, 299? Rescue the perishing. Let's sing the first and the last stanza.
Thank you.
Lord God, let us not race till we become concerned and involved in the lives of those around us who do not know you. Use us to be rescuers of the perishing. And Lord, hold us close to you. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name. Amen.